evening. That was a good one, too. We had two good ones. I said good evening, and a bunch of people said it. We said good morning, and a bunch of people said it. It was great. I think one of these days, the way we're going, we might get everybody to respond. It'd be amazing. Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the shepherds lost his crook. It might not be the only time. Hopefully we don't get a crook across somebody's noggin tonight. All right, let's take our new songbook, please. Turn to number 19. Number 19. Start tonight out with a congregational, and then we'll jump into all the fun special songs we have tonight. Number 19, let's all stand as we sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, O come,
and we are glad to see you here on this Christmas Eve. Good to have several visitors and family members visiting with us. So that's great. And just looking forward to tonight to celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I'm glad he came. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, can you fathom leaving heaven being put into a man's body, a baby's body, actually, and then growing up as a man, God himself growing up and then going to die for our sins. It's incredible, really is. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a great time to focus on Jesus Christ. That's our desire tonight. So let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time of year where we set aside and send our thoughts toward you coming to be born in Bethlehem, the body that was prepared for you in Mary's womb. And God, you being born and truly born to die. Father, as we lift up our voices tonight in song and just have many specials and point our direction toward you, and then, Lord, as we look at the scriptures, God, I pray that you would help us just to completely adore and worship you tonight. God, that our hearts would be drawn to you. God, that we would be truly, truly grateful that you bore our sins. And then, Father, that we would be encouraged to live for you, and we would just see how wonderful you are. God, I pray that you would be honored and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay.
Alleluia, oh, how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rained.
And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way.
Alleluia, oh how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rained. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King.
Alleluia, oh how the angels sing. Alleluia,
how it rained.
And the sky was bright
with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King.
Amen. right, we've got a few announcements in between if I can make it up the stairs. Get to be half a century, those things happen, you know. So this is a thank you note from Wanda Watley. Dear pastor and church family, I want to try once more to say thank you for all the wonderful blessing you have been to me in the year of 2023. Thank you for the gift card you gave me for Christmas. I wanted to thank you for your love, compassion, and the many prayers you have prayed for me in the months gone by. I cannot tell you what a wonderful blessing you've been. Praise God for every one of you, and I want you to know I love and appreciate every one of you in Christ Jesus our Lord with much Christian love from just a sincere sinner saved by grace. And from Wanda Watley, and it's a blessing to be able to be a blessing and help when we can with what we can. We do have a Bible reading schedule. If you want to read the Bible through in 2024, this will walk you all the way through it. And if you just stay day by day with it, you'll be able to read the Bible through in a year. And again, I encourage you, if you haven't done that, do it. Be a good thing to do. If it's been a while since you've done it, I recommend, you know, at least every couple years, you ought to read it all the way through. And then in between, you can do some studying. You can read a book through several times so you really become familiar with a specific book. You can use a devotional system. You could use the ABCs of Christian growth. But the goal and the desire is we want to be walking with God every day. We want to start every day just in the presence of the Lord with some scripture, with something that directs our hearts and minds toward Him. And then walking with Him throughout the day. And so that's important. And then next Sunday night following the service, we'll have New Year's time and bring some finger foods to fellowship together with that. And really, just have a great and wonderful Christmas week. And Brother Reed has an announcement or something he said he wanted to do.
Well, this is a time that as a church family we look forward to each year, to be able to give a love offering to our pastor and to our assistant pastor. And so I'm going to have Pastor Decker come here. And Pastor, let me just say that we very much appreciate your good preaching and your faithfulness and your hard work and the people who have given this. And so I will pass it on to you and have a wonderful Christmas. And we appreciate you and your family and your love for the Lord and leadership for us.
Thank you.
Brother Christian, come ahead, please. We're glad to have you and your family on board with us and appreciate your hard work with the Christmas presentation. Appreciate you putting up with my squeaky notes back there.
Oh, yeah.
But we very much appreciate you and your family, and so we're looking forward to your work here and us being able to lead and follow in your leadership in the music. And for both of Pastor, and for you, we want to pray for you guys and our church family. It's so important that we pray for them. It's one thing to give them a few dollars, but we need to pray every day. I'll give that to you.
Thank you.
And very much thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And my wife, Paula, gets to come up here. She's one of the church staff as well, right? And, yeah.
I asked you if I didn't have to do that this year.
Said, nope, you got to come up. So, we appreciate Paula and her faithfulness with the things that she does here and all the work that she deals with that, quite frankly, most of us wouldn't have a clue of what to do with it. And, so we're glad for her, and Paula, that's for you.
Thank you
very much. We appreciate our staff. Let's give our staff a hand.
All right, then we have some more specials. Okay.
Thank you.
If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We want to spend some time focusing on what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We're going to look at several scriptures, and I'm not going to overly preach on all of them, but we just want to look and let the Bible describe for us the Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him tonight. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And it's just a great thing that God has done. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll look at the scriptures tonight. Father, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would just get a glimpse of who you gave to us, the Son that was given. And God, I pray that we would see it, that we would see it clearly, and that we would just bring honor to your name tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here very clearly a son is given. It doesn't say a son was born or a son started at that time. The son already existed. He was pre-existent in heaven well before he ever came to this earth. And if you go with me, you can follow along as best you can. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word," it's a capital W, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "the Word was made flesh." Jesus Christ was pre-existent in the heaven. He was there with God from all eternity. He was the creator of all things. There was nothing that was created that was not created by and with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Word, the Son, it was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so as it is written, it's John's perspective here as he writes from this. He says, Jesus, the Son that was given, the Word was made flesh, and we got to see His glory. And he got to see that glory on that Mount of Transfiguration. He got to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory. Most of the people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw Him as a man. There were a few disciples, three disciples up there on that mount that got to see the fullness of His glory ahead of time. And one day we will get to see the fullness of His glory. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, the Son was existing, but He gave, and in through the birth of Mary giving birth to the child, the Jesus Christ became the only begotten Son of God. And that is very unique. Adam was a created son of God. He's referred to as son of God. Israel as a nation is referred to as a son of God. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given power to become the sons of God, but there's only one that was begotten by a miracle through the Holy Ghost come from the womb of Mary, and Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible tells us these words. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation." The word propitiation means the appeasement of wrath, to be the propitiation for our sins. So God gave His Son. We go back to Isaiah. I want to focus tonight mainly on the names of this Son that was given. And there's a few names in this verse. Those are the ones that we're going to look at and focus on. They're capitalized. They're very specific. The detail is given in the verse. But I want to take that and just draw the rest of the scripture in together as we look at these things. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful." Wonderful. You just take a moment and think about how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. You look at some verses. There's a verse in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. You don't turn there. I'll just read it. It says, "Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward." Can you fathom God Almighty sending His thoughts our direction? I mean, you know, it would be, we are more insignificant compared to God Almighty than an ant is to us. And how often do you send an ant your thoughts toward an ant with love and compassion and care? Usually, we're getting them out of the way. They're an annoyance to us. They're getting around our house too much. We get some poison and put out.
But God looked down on insignificant man, and he turned his thoughts toward us. And it says to us, word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God Almighty, the thoughts that he has toward us and how he has been so good to us are more than can be numbered. But this, the most wonderful thing that God did for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus accomplishing for us what we could never accomplish for ourselves. Him providing salvation, providing reconciliation, providing propitiation, providing justification. The Lord Jesus Christ giving all of that to us. He truly is wonderful. Wonderful. The Bible says his name shall be called Counselor with a capital C. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We are in a society right now that there is a lot of focus on counseling. The Word of God is the best counselor you'll ever get. It's the best financial counselor. It's the best marriage counselor. It's the best rearing your child counselor. It is the best living your life counselor that you can get. And we would need a whole lot less counseling if we would just get our counsel from the right place. The book hasn't changed. Truth hasn't changed. The Word of God is there, but God is our counselor, and Jesus Christ is called Counselor with a capital C. When you need him, he's always there. You can call him any time of day or night, and he'll give you counsel. You can meet with him every day to get counsel. What do I need for today? And the Lord Jesus is there to help us. Isaiah 28:29 says this, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." Notice, Isaiah calls him wonderful, it calls him counselor, and in both of these verses, it's talking about his wonderful counsel. Jesus Christ is the greatest counselor ever to be. The next name is the Mighty God. Oh, it's interesting. You look to any Bible outside the King James and they leave off the. Like, wait a minute, is there more than one? The Mighty God, very specific. Jesus Christ is all God. He is the Mighty God. We look at what the Bible says about this, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and just let the Bible speak for itself. The Bible says in verse 21 and 22, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from the time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God beside me?" Now look at the next phrase, "a just God and a Savior." See, both of them capitalize. It's Jesus Christ is God, and God is the Savior, and they are one. "There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Who do you look for salvation, or who do you look to for salvation? It's Jesus. And he is God, and he is the Savior, and he is all God, and you know, it's incredible, but the Trinity is Bible truth. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we enjoy just going through and seeing the Scriptures declare how Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, look, it's not like the Jehovah Witness that changed that to a little g God. It's like, okay, if Jesus is just a little g God, then everyone that ever bowed to him committed idolatry. No, he is God with a capital G. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, the people that go out and say God created Jesus. No, it says nothing was made that Jesus did not create. Jesus was always there. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 declares the Godhead and Jesus Christ coming. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. And guess what? He's coming back again. All we got to do is turn over to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, just a few pages over, and we see him coming back looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God. Jesus is all God. You know, it was predicted, it was prophesied, Isaiah declares it, his name is the mighty God. You don't ever have to doubt that Jesus Christ is the one and same God as God. You've got God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it is one God. If that's not specific enough, look at the next title that's given back in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is the Son. Yes, but they're one. They're one. They're together. They're the same. God the Father and God the Son and Jesus, it says that the Son that is given is going to be called the everlasting Father. Not a everlasting Father. Not just everlasting Father. Very specifically, the everlasting Father. The book of John is the greatest book describing Jesus Christ and the Father as he declares who the Father is and who he is. John chapter 5 and verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17, and I want to read just a good little bit of this and look at this conversation that Jesus Christ has concerning who he is and who the Father is. So in verse 17, it says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself what? Equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Boy, they have the same attributes. God the Father and God the Son. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You know, I love the fact that it said the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, and the Son quickeneth whom he will, and he declares who's going to be quickened, made alive. Those that hear the word and believe on him. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Don't you look forward to the rapture? Jesus Christ is coming. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. See, our life is sustained by God. But Jesus has life in himself. He is life. He that hath the Son hath life. And the connection between you being alive for all eternity is your connection to Jesus Christ. And if you are with the Lord Jesus Christ and he is your Savior, you have eternal life. he goes on and talks a little bit further, but verse 39 says this, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In John chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Boy, are you one of his sheep tonight? What does the Bible say his sheep do? Follow him. They hear his voice and they follow him. Follow him. We can't get away from it. God wants saved people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus is not just, oh, he's my ticket out of hell, my ticket to heaven. Jesus Christ is the Savior that wants us to follow him, to walk with him daily, to live as he would want us to live. It's not just about, oh, I'm so glad that I don't have to pay for my sins. So many times that's what salvation has been turned into, but salvation is, it is saved to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The Jews knew exactly what he was saying. Verse 31 says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." See, God the Father, God the Son are one God, and Isaiah declares, look, the Son's name is going to be called the Everlasting Father. That's incredible, but it's there. You know, you're very familiar with John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." But listen of what is said following that passage. It says in verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should also have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Now, how many of them had seen the Father? Well, technically speaking, they saw the Son. But when they saw the Son, who did they see? They saw the Father, because his name is the Everlasting Father. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" It's like, Philip, do you not know who I am? Did you not read Isaiah 9:6? "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." As Jesus Christ dwelt here on earth, the Father was in the Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ the Son, but they are one. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 makes the absolute declaration. It's so clear that many people that don't want to believe that Jesus is God took the verse and took it right out of the Bible. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," that's the Son, capital W, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Isaiah 9:6, the Everlasting Father. I don't know how anyone can ever argue with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last name in Isaiah 9:6, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. This world talks about peace. They say they want peace. But how many people truly know peace? Christians ought to know peace. We can have peace anytime. I'm just going to read these verses. But Luke 2:14, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Say, I'm struggling with fear and worry and anxiety and trouble and struggle. Do you know the Prince of Peace? He wants to give you peace. John 14, 27, Jesus made this statement, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, Jesus knows that we're going to face trouble. He knows that we're going to face fear. He knows that we're going to face worry. It's part of our carnal nature, if you will. But Jesus Christ says, look, I leave you my peace. My peace I give unto you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, you think of a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. And this world can do the worst that they could possibly do to us. And ultimately, we end up with a brand new body in heaven. The Prince of Peace. Are you ready? If the rapture were to happen tonight, would you go? If you were to die this night, would you go to be with the Lord in heaven? Well, you can have that peace. Acts 10:36 says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." I love it. It ends with this phrase, "He is Lord of all." Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen with our country. He's got it. He's Lord of all. If he lets it happen, it's because he has a plan and a purpose in it. Now, I believe we ought to participate and do the best we can to help our country. But Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He's still King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's still the Prince of Peace. But it says preaching peace by Jesus Christ. You know, in a lost person, there can be no peace. If they are understanding, they understand. Boy, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. There's no peace in that. If they say, I don't really believe in God, well, then they're going to die. They're still going to go to hell, but in their mind, they're going to die. There's nothing after that. There's no peace in that. But all the peace that comes when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know no matter what happens in this life, it's only going to get better. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? If you know the Prince of Peace, you can have peace with God. Remember the conviction when you were lost? Man, I'm going to stand before God. And there's a terror that's there in that. But God's going to judge me. I'm going to go to hell. There's a terror that's there in that. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, you're not at enmity with God anymore. You're at peace with God. In fact, God brings you into his family. Peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," talking about Jews and Gentiles bringing together. You know, you look at all of this country and all of the racism in the country. You look at what's going on right now, and you got Israelites and you got Hamas. And in our country, there's this great division. You got these people marching over here and you got these people marching over here. And the division, you know what? When a Jew gets saved and a Palestinian gets saved and they both share the same Heavenly Father, the middle wall of partition is broken down. And boy, in a church family, you can all just get together. You can take the worst gang member from this gang, the worst gang member for this gang. If they both get saved and Jesus Christ saves them and God becomes their Heavenly Father, these two that are absolutely opposed to one another become brothers. God takes down the middle wall of partition. God is able to bring peace where there is no peace. But that peace only comes through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And then Colossians 1:20. Great verse. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, it's by Him, by His blood. Do you want peace tonight? If you're not saved, the Prince of Peace wants to give you peace. He wants to save you. We just read Isaiah 9:6 one more time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet tonight. I want to give you just an opportunity. Maybe someone needs to pray about something. Maybe there's someone here that you're not saved. You need Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to get saved on a Christmas Eve? Great to get saved any day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. And God, I pray that even now as we have the invitation that we would meditate upon you, think about who you are and what you are for and to us. And God, may we rejoice in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, you want to come and talk to the Lord tonight, you're welcome to do so. And you just want to take a few minutes and meditate on who Jesus Christ is to you. Don't ever create in your mind a false picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible describes him. And we need to grasp in our mind the Bible description of who Jesus is. You think about all of that. And gone are the reindeer, and gone are the Santa Claus, and gone are the polar bears, and gone are the snowmen, and gone are the lights. Jesus Christ is the light. All of that is, some of it's absolute horrible. Lights are pretty. But knowing Jesus Christ is the best of all. To be able to gather together as a church family and just worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give glory to Him is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And gather with your families tomorrow and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Family's great. It's great to be together as family. Take at least some time and center it around Jesus Christ and who He is. Rejoice in Him, the Prince of Peace. We're going to end tonight with a song. Brother Shock is going to come and lead us, and let's just sing this all together.
Number 20 in your new book, very fitting. Angels we have heard on high, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. We can't give Him enough, and He's deserving of everything we possibly can give Him. So let's all sing Glory to God in the highest. Let's sing it out.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joy. Stay, oh, glory. why your joy us strains prolong. Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Good, wasn't it? Tell you what, it filled the building. And you know what? Jesus heard it. Wow. That's great. Have a great Christmas tomorrow. We'd appreciate your prayers. We have a funeral this week. My wife's brother passed away, so she is leaving. Well, we're leaving at 2:45 tonight. She's getting on a plane going down to pick up her mother and fly up to Indiana. I'm driving over to meet them. We'll have a funeral on Thursday out there in Indiana. They'll be flying into Indiana on Tuesday, and then she'll fly back on Thursday to Florida, fly back here on Saturday. And so we're going to pray that all these connections get made. There's a lot of them. So, but do pray. You know, I am assuming that there will be lost people at the funeral. Now, this particular brother was severely, severely autistic. He'll go to heaven because of innocence. There's no way he ever knew the law to make him and understand what sin was. And so pray, because we're going to present that and, of course, then bring it to those that do understand. And we have an accountability. So pray. We would appreciate just praying for that. I know many of you are traveling as well. Be careful. Enjoy the day tomorrow. Enjoy the week. And let's just be praying toward everything. Be here on Wednesday. Remember, there's no King's Kids this Wednesday. Get a little break, but be here. It'll be a good service on Wednesday, and we're looking forward to that. We'll find a church to go to over there, but I usually watch the post live stream afterwards. So so let's pray. Father, we rejoice in you, and God, one day we'll be able to stand in your presence and sing directly, and our voices will be better. But God, may we just, out of hearts full of love for you, rejoice in you over these next days. And Father, help us, Lord, just be able to see what, reflect on all that you've done for us throughout this year. God, give us the opportunity to tell someone about you over this season. So what could be better than someone else knowing the Prince of Peace? God, help us be faithful in that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some cards and packages still on the back table, so check those, pick those up on your way out. And great to see all of you. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Have a great Christmas.